The next topic, Shakespeare's greatness. Introduction. Soul of the age, the applause, delight, the wonder of our stage. Triumph by Britain, thou hast one to show, to whom all scenes of Europe homage vow. He was not to an age, but for all time. This was the glowing tribute which Ben Jonson, Shakespeare worthy rival, and sometime harsh critic, paid to him. Since Ben Jonson is an unbroken line of critics ranging over four centuries has done the same, it will be tedious to recount the glowing panegyric which have gone to Bard Stratford. If one were to believe all of them, one would be led to understand that Shakespeare was not a human, but a phenomenon unnameable to any critical test whatever. Thus Pope, for instance, asserted that Shakespeare was not an imitator but an instrument of nature. He did not speak for nature, rather it was nature who spoke through him. Nature herself was proud of his design, and joyed what we are dressing of his line. That is, subscribing the claim made in this inscription under Shakespeare bust in a Stratford church, which reads Shakespeare with whom quick nature died. Otherwise quite sane a critic as Matthew Arnold sentimentally and quite simply wrote, "Other abhorred our question, thou art free, we ask and ask. The smilest in art still, outtopping knowledge. And thou, who didst the star and the sunbeam know? Self-schooled, self-scanned, self-honored, self-secured. He did read on earth and gazed at. In the Victorian age, the vizier of this family, the family Shakespeare, helped in nurturing a sentimental approach to Shakespeare. Fortunately, the critics of today have come to dissociate themselves from such lacrimosic penetration. This much of the cloud of incense which collect around the deity has been laid, enabling us to approach to the real Shakespeare clearly and correctly. Shakespeare did outtop his contemporaries, but he did not outtop knowledge. As Matthew Arnold would have it, this is no way regarding Shakespeare, who is ever fresh and fell surely last as long as Brooks lost. Dr. Johnson's words are very true. The stream of time, which is continually washing dissoluble fabric of their poets, passes without injury by admits and Shakespeare. Shakespeare in this perpetual charm does answer well the word of Imberbus about Cleopatra. Age cannot wither her, nor custom still her infinite variety, other omen cloy. The appetites they feed, but she makes hungry where most she satisfies. Shakespeare's comprehensiveness. What primarily distinguishes Shakespeare from a host of his contemporaries is that, unlike them, he does not have only a narrow limited range within which his genius operates. What Shakespeare deals with is the entire length and the breadth of human life and character in all its complexity and variety. Which element of human experience and which segment of human sensibility has Shakespeare left untouched? He, as a critic ever, sweep with the hand of a master of varied experience of human life from the lowest note to the very top of its compass, from the sportive childish treble of Millimus and the pleading boyish tune of Prince Arthur up to the sceptre haunted terror of Macbeth, the tropical passion of Othello, the agonized sense and tortured spirit of Hamlet, the sustaining and the sustained titanic force of tragical pathos of King Lear, with a rare critical acumen, Dryden pointed out that Shakespeare was the man who, of all modern and perhaps ancient poets, had the largest and most comprehensive soul. Shakespeare's comprehensive has another manifestation to his possession is of varied dramatic gifts, which we do not find concentrated in any of his contemporaries, dramatists, any of whom are indeed master of one or other of them, and perhaps better master than Shakespeare. What is there in Shakespeare to match the architectonic skill displayed by Ben Jonson in the Alchemist? The hard, ringing, terrifying pathos of the last scene of the Marlowe's Dr. Faustus, the startling touch quality of the death scene of the king in Marlowe's Edward II, or that of the Duchess of Webster, the Duchess of Malfi, the skillful virtuosity be Beaumont and the Fletcher's comedy, The Night of the Burning Pestle, or the ecstatic utterance of the Dr. Faustus on his vision of Helen, even then we have to admit that Shakespeare is superior to any of his contemporaries in that he combines all the gifts. Therein lies comprehensiveness and consequently the secret of his continued appeal. Shakespeare's plot construction. Shakespeare's plot construction is more often mentioned to be condemned than condemned. Did. As regarded the three unities, he was a serious offender. Even the most important of the unities, the unity of action, was very often altogether disregarded by him, much to the chagrin of Ben Jonson. However, in his violation of the unities, Shakespeare was one with his most contemporaries. Shakespeare seems to have bothered more about the artistic unity of effect than any mechanical observance of any one of the three unities, or even that of all of them put together. Speaking strictly from architectonic point of view alone, Shakespeare's play suffer in comparison with those of Ben Jonson, who made much fuss about classical rules. We are told in the prologue to his Well Upon about Ben Jonson himself, the rule of time, place, person, he observed, from no needful rule he survived. Correspondingly, in the prologue to Every Man in His Humour, Ben Jonson's first comedy, there is a caustic attack on those, like Shakespeare, who violate the basic rule of dramatic construction. We have to admit that Shakespeare has a rather poor skill for architectonic, though it is less disappointing than that of Marlowe or some other. But his mystery of individual scene is beyond question. We have a much larger number of memorable scenes in the play of Shakespeare than in those of any other dramatist. Some of the scenes of his nature are the storm scene of in King Lear, the sleepwalking scene in Macbeth, the trial scene in Merchant of Venice, and the scene in Othello showing the last encounter between Othello and Desdemona, the deposition scene in Richard II, the Falstaff scene in Henry IV, Part 1. Furthermore, Shakespeare's exploitation of the technique of suspense is also remarkable. Shakespeare's characterization. According to Compton Rickett, one of the two qualities which established Shakespeare's superiority over his contemporaries is his insight into human nature. Now, without his quality, the work of a dramatist can neither be interesting nor great. And this is the quality in which Shakespeare is far richer than his contemporaries. It gives his character an abundance of psychological realism, making them very convincing. We know his characters better than we do our aunts and uncles. They are all intentionally human, not the wooden personified humorous of Ben Jonson's comedies or the superhuman heroes of Marlowe's tragedies. Shakespeare was to use the word of Shelley in the description of Coleridge, a sable-souled psychologist. Shakespeare, writes a critic, was above all a master of human psychology, although the word itself was not known in his day. It is his universal humanity,
his all-embracing understanding of every human emotion and instincts, which has made Shakespeare what is the greatest philosopher of the human heart ever known. He is famous all time because the scholar, equally with the man in the street, realizes at a glance its true valuation and the faithful portrayal of the deep spring of human action to be found in the subtle working of mind. His power of piercing to the hidden center of character, of touching the issue of life and the evolving these issues dramatically with flawless strength, subtlety and truth, be superb. Goethe compressed Shakespeare's character to watches with transparent dials. You can see the time, that is what is on the surface, but you can also see the working of their mind too. What Compton Rickett calls Shakespeare in a noted comma, profound and searching knowledge of human nature, comes to the fore when you study any of his character: Macbeth, ambition; Falstaff, light-hearted villainy; Lear's simplicity; Desdemona, navy devotion; Shylock, greed and revengefulness; Portia, intellectuality; Imogen, fidelity and egos; malignity, have all a ring of super veracity. But these characters are by no means simple or endowed with single-track mind. They are complex as living individual, whose conduct cannot always be so easily explained. According to Lewis, one of the most important characteristics which distinguished Shakespeare from his English revival is the complexity of his character, which as a rule are not represented only within the short span of a crisis. Shakespeare took advantage of the wide allowance of space under his dramatic system. The 20 or so scenes into which each of his play is one of the average divided and sort his heroes and various moments of their lives in changing situation and in colloquy with different person. They are not obliged to sustain one attitude, but have time to move and letter. No simple principle account for them. They have life and life's indefiniteness, and therefore they are not always fully intelligible, but are mysteries. Shakespeare exhibits stage by stage the organic development of his characters from the beginning to the end. The senile Lear of the end of King Lear is much different from the tempestuous Lear of the first scene. He has undergone a transformation amounting a redemption. What a change! What is entirely convincing Shakespeare characters are. To adopt the distinction drawn by E.M. Forster, round rather than flat, they are capable of surprising us in a convincing way. On the other hand, Ben Jonson's humor and Marlowe's character, such as Chamberlain, Barbus and Mortimer, do not change much, if they do change at all. A word about Shakespeare's mastery of the female psychology, in which we find his contemporaries so deficient. As Compton Rickett observed, Portia, Rosalind, Beatrice, Cleopatra, Juliet or Sterling Modern, placed beside the woman of Sheridan and Goldsmith. And you realize how the latter are dated and how alive and fresh are the former. Beside them, when even the woman of Dickens and Thackeray seems old-fashioned, and the reason is that Shakespeare women have a primal qualities of womanhood common to every age and therefore can never be outdated, and there is subtlety no less than actuality. The remaining part of this topic in next file.